What's up, everybody? This is the Beats and Coffee Podcast, episode 6. And for this week's episode, I got a good episode, actually. I was able to book an interview, and it's a big one. I was able to talk to Ryan from the Heat YouTube channel. If you guys are on YouTube, you know, part of the online producer community, I'm sure you're familiar with that channel and Ryan as well. They give gems every week about how to market and sell your beats. So this was a great first guest to sit down and talk to. We talk a little bit about, you know, how he joined the Heat YouTube channel and his role there and what he does for that channel, as well as, you know, everything to do with selling beats online and marketing and the importance of some of these newer social platforms like TikTok, which you guys know how well I'm doing on that. But anyway, it's good to hear. Honestly, it's good to get a fresh perspective. So I'll let you take a listen. There were a couple audio problems towards the end with my my mic, so just bear with it. And we did have some problems where the feed kept dropping out, but we pulled it off. We got through it. Ended up being a great interview. I'll let you take a listen. Enjoy. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Beats and Coffee Podcast. This is episode 6. As I've been mentioning, I have been wanting to start booking some guests, and I finally did that, and I think I hit a home run with the first guest.
Thank you.
I have Ryan from the Heat YouTube channel, and if you've been a part of the online producer community for, you know, the past 6 months or so, you should definitely recognize his face, be aware of what that channel does. So, Ryan, I'll let you say hi. Thanks for joining.
Glad to be here, dude. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining. Anyway, I'll kind of do the default question that everyone asks in every interview. So, you know, how did you start in music? What's kind of your background? What made you say, all right, I want to do this?
Yeah, so I think like the normal producer, I started out probably producing in high school, I want to say. So just to give you guys some clarification, I graduated college this year. So like 8 years ago, let's see, I listened to like Ninth Wonder and J Dilla. So I always kind of had like a boom bap background. And I guess like one day I was like, you know what, I'm gonna start like trying to like, sampling was always so interesting to me. And like if you type in Ryan Thomas 2K, I don't know, it's something 2K like 16 on SoundCloud, you'll hear like some of my first beats of like sampling. It was god awful.
Yeah.
But then probably after, like, it was kind of always on and off. Like, I want to get into it. Then I just kind of dicked around with FL Studio. I didn't really do anything too serious with it. And then during college, I want to say my sophomore year, I lived by myself. So I was like, hey, I have like all this free time to do music and whatnot. Just kind of like zone out in my apartment. And so I'd have these like spurts where I would like lock in for like a month and be like, man, I'm going to start selling these beats. I'm going to upload daily to Instagram. I was like, man, I'm going to do it. And like 2 weeks later, I'd be like, I'm getting no views at all. This is just depressing. I'm done.
Yeah.
So I kind of went through those periods myself. And then when the pandemic happened, I was still in college. I had like a landscaping job at the time I worked too. And they're like, hey, we don't need you. Like, we physically cannot have you here because of the pandemic. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, nobody's going to hire me. I'm just going to make a YouTube channel and like talk about music production. And plus two, it kind of forced me to stay consistent with it because I was like, I kind of have to keep giving people content. And it was also fun because I love getting on, like talking on camera, doing the editing parts. I was like, this is kind of fun. And so I just kind of locked into that. And after a few videos, I really noticed like, hey, this is something that it doesn't have a lot of traction right now, but the traction that I am getting, people are loving it, because I think at the time, it's pretty much fair to say the only content that was out there was like DJ Payne 1 interviews. And it was like, man, I uploaded daily. I mean, what were you going to say?
I mean, I could, and let me know, like, I'm staring at you on my screen.
Yeah.
if my eyes look like they're staring in another direction, it's just because I'm watching you on screen.
Yeah, no, that's how mine is too. My webcam's okay. Like here. My camera's like my screen's right here. Yeah, because I have a laptop computer.
But yeah, anyway, I mean, you started popping up in my feed, and I think the thing that like you kind of cut through all the lines of, because I feel like there's so many interviews out there with either like the big guys, the guys that already have 100K.
Yeah.
But there's not many with the guys that are just starting out. No. And it's like, all right, that's great. We're happy for you that you hit that 100K. But like, how did you get there? Like, real part we want to find out. So your videos definitely hit on that.
Yeah, because I figured, you know, whenever you look into like marketing, it's like, what's your unique point? Like, why should people buy from you or follow you or whatnot? And it was like, okay, like I have no authority in the space. Like I can't like come on YouTube and be like, yo, I made $4,000 this month. Here's what I did. And so I was like, that's my selling point. Like just follow me along and learn from my mistakes, my achievements. And it made content really easy too, because it was like, even if I fail every week, I still have something to tell people and they can learn from it. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
But like I said, like the only content out there was like DJ Payne 1 or people who were claiming, you know, there wasn't really a lot of truth that you could verify. Not saying people were lying, but you know, like sometimes it was kind of a blurred line of like, what is this person really achieving? And so that was something I tried to be upfront with people too, was kind of like my own success, just because I figured that's the best way to go about it. And you know, getting into it, I think in November I released like a little mini course, and I was always so upfront with it. I was like, this is just things I've learned. Like, and I show people in my monthly screenshots, like I would update my BeatStars monthly screenshot of like, I made $130 and I'm selling you a $19 course. Like that was my thing.
And
I never felt like bad or like I was giving out false information, because I was showing people like, this is my monthly screenshot.
And this,
you know what I'm making.
This works. This is literally what worked for me. Yeah.
And so really, I guess I'll talk about how I met Robin then too, because it kind of goes into this. So there was a man named Anthony who reached out to me. He was from, I think he's from the UK, but he was in Turkey at the time with another producer. They were working together. And he was like, hey man, I saw you had a video on like Facebook ads, where I was kind of talked about like general usage of Facebook ads for beats. He was like, hey, could you like help me out? I'll pay you and whatnot. I was like, you don't have to pay me. Like, I don't like, it's not like I can like say like, oh, like I've did this and this successfully.
Yeah,
like I've ran very small campaigns that are like break even, so it's like, dude, like let's just hop on a call and talk about it.
So
I talked to him about 2 or 3 times on the phone, and we started strategizing more and more, and he was like, hey, have you seen this Robin Wesley guy? And he has this course called The Constant Conversion Strategy. And at the time I had seen Robin because I was actually looking into organic SEO for both selling beats and for like helping producers sell beats online. So when I looked up like SEO for selling beats, I'd come across his blogs for beat licensing. And then when I would try to target producers with organic SEO, it would be like The Definitive Guide to Selling Beats Online by Urban Masterclass.
Yeah.
So like I was just surrounded. I was like, yeah, no, I've heard of him. And he was like, yeah, I just bought his course. And I talked to him and like I showed him your channel and he loves it. He's like, he wants to talk to you. I was like, holy shit. Okay. So that was it was insane. That happened in December, and then by January, me and him were probably talking like once a week on Zoom.
That's awesome. Yeah, like for me, like I on my podcast, I kind of talked about how I was first introduced to him, and it was literally like 2 years ago. Just, you know, I'm sure every online producer has done this. It's like you hit those frustration points, and you're like, all right, what am I missing? You know. And you just start Googling how to sell beats online, and you see the stuff you've already seen before, like the DJ Payne ones and all that. And you just keep scrolling down. And I eventually ran into a blog post from Robin Wesley.
Yeah.
And he gave so much detail, and he talked about his failures, and he talked about like the whole journey. And I thought that was awesome. I'm like, I think I like bookmarked it and would go back to it. But then, you know, I would say I didn't hear about him for like another 2 years or so. And then last December, I think it was January, he started running ads for the Constant Conversion Strategy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember that guy. I remember that dude. I'm gonna go check this out. And yeah, I was sold on it. But it, anyway, if anyone is like, who's this Robin that we're talking about? So Robin Wesley is he's the head of Heat, right? Yeah. In the Constant Conversion Strategy course that you guys sell. But he is a really good resource for producers and musicians and artists that are trying to build a following. So
yeah, you know, I think sometimes it's ironic how we sell a course, because I feel like if just watching our YouTube videos, you could probably straight up make like, I mean, just from our YouTube videos, you could learn a lot. I don't know if there's like a money amount you could say like, oh, like you watch our YouTube. I mean, I'm confident you watch our YouTube videos, you could at least make $1,000.
Yeah.
Like just from our, like just from their free YouTube content. And that's kind of how, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I would say like the difference between, what you guys are talking about on the free content and then what you get in the course. For me, the big difference is, like the actual seeing him go through and talk about, all right, here's the email sequence.
Yeah.
Here's exactly what I'm going to say. And for each email, like, you almost have to see that to be like, oh, okay, that's how they do it. Like, that was always a big pain point for me. It's like, yeah, I know I got to get my email marketing going.
But like, what the hell does that
look
like?
What the hell am I going to say?
Yeah.
I don't know these people. Yeah. So that totally helped me. That was a big selling point.
Yeah. And I mean, like that is a selling point, right? Just to like be upfront and ask people is like the thing that with the Heat channel is a lot of producers just to pitch them the idea of like a course about email marketing and whatnot. They don't understand what the solution of email marketing is because they don't see the problem first. And so the biggest thing with our YouTube content, right? Like no lie, it's for producers to understand the problems. So that way they see the course as a solution and also the free content we provide as a solution. So that's kind of always been the thing. Like you talk about with the blog articles is Robin has always been one for like value, 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 value. Like if you over deliver on value, people, you're going to build a community and you can monetize that community how you want. So that's always been the thing with YouTube is like, I just want to kind of like pour my heart into like all the information. And whenever I, like you watch a Heat video, I want you to be like, damn, like this is free.
Yeah, no. And I, at least for me, I do feel that way sometimes, but, I think you're right. I mean, I don't know if you listen to Gary V, but he always says, if you can give away free for as long as you can, it, you know, and then only ask for money when you absolutely have to. So like, if you can spend 2 or 3 years just giving away free value, when you do try to sell something, it's going to sell. So
yeah, like I think that's kind of, you know, it's kind of the biggest point with producers right now selling beats is everyone just wants to upload their beat to YouTube and sell, but like nobody has established an audience.
And oh,
that's
yeah.
Kind of, that's, I mean, it's the hardest part.
Yeah, for me, it was like I did that when I first started. Or funny story, like I posted like a Post Malone type beat as my first beat ever on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, I heard what everyone's been saying. This thing's going to blow up. And it got like 10 views. Mm-hmm. And then I like stopped posting for like a year and a half. And then eventually I got back into it. But it's totally true. Like, I feel like I've gone through, you know, my mindset has gone through, okay, I'm just going to post nonstop to, okay, I have to still post as much as I can, but I also have to do these other things too to actually, you know, reach out to the customers, try to understand their thinking. It's like, the more you do it and it's not as successful as you want it to be, it's like, then you just keep expanding.
Yeah. You know, and you got to keep on learning
into the marketing. So, and I always talk about like, sometimes you're not ready to hear the advice you're being given. That to me, that is so true. Like 2 years ago, I just wasn't ready to hear it. But like, once you live through it, and you realize that you still need to do more, then you're like, okay, what were you saying again about, you know, understanding the customer journey? So
it's difficult, man.
So for the Heat position, your social content.
Yeah. So I do like the social media content. And community manager for like our Discord and stuff.
Cool. So what is like what is your your week look like as far as doing work?
Okay. For interesting heat? Question. Yeah. So,
For me, I'm like, this guy has a dream position here. I want to find out. It's like working at Disneyland for me. So go ahead.
So Mondays, we're usually hopping in a call and kind of like brainstorming some content ideas, going over last week's video's performance and whatnot. And for me, you know, it's really such an immersive process nowadays to where like just making beats has become like a complete background thought in my mind. And that's kind of like what happened when I took the position is like the channel was built on my experience with selling beats. But when I teamed up with Heat, with Robin, it became more so of like a transfer of knowledge of like, I'm going to learn alongside with you guys. And you're going to like show me like what these tactics are, learn about the marketing, and then just kind of be like the messenger pigeon, essentially, to make it into like entertaining YouTube content. So that way we can entertain and educate. But
nice.
Monday for me, it's mostly TikToks. Just because, yeah. So I record about 21 TikToks in about 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, TikTok is really such, TikTok's all about discovery. I know there was a Russ interview he did. He said that like on Instagram just sucks. Like Instagram, I think is a platform that is only being used for like people to follow along.
Yeah.
Creators they already know to keep up with. But TikTok is much more discovery because they push content. Like Russ said, he saw an artist who had 8 likes. Like, imagine that. Like, you think you're not reaching anybody, but Russ saw your freaking content.
Yeah.
So TikTok is like all my Monday, really. And then Tuesday, I get more into scripting out the videos. And like, I write like actual like scripts for the videos.
I was going to say that was going to be one of my questions. I'm like, I feel like you have to concept out these videos because you have so many different shots and like a storyline to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I write like I was actually a communications major in college. So like TV, film, audio production. So I learned like the proper way how to like write a script or like a video treatment. So that's kind of how I treat the YouTube videos and whatnot. And then Wednesday is usually all day recording and editing. Thursday is kind of getting like those funny B-roll shots that everyone sees in the video. Everybody seems to love like me doing wacky shit or whatnot.
Yeah.
And thumbnail. And then Friday is more so kind of catching up again on the week and just kind of seeing what's up with the community, publishing the video. Any like last minute changes? Hopefully not, but been there, done that. We're like 10:30. I'm like rendering the video, being like, oh shit, this is going to be ready by 12.
Yeah. I will say this, you definitely have a knack for the video content and the editing and like the storylines. Very entertaining.
Yeah, that's kind of that's like our biggest difference, really.
Yeah.
It's just people come to the videos to be entertained. Just because I think a lot of the beat selling videos out there are like, yo, man, so I made $1,600 a month selling beats online. You know, grinded, I struggled. And it's just so boring.
Yeah.
Like everybody talking about it.
Yeah, I know. And it's for a lot of the beat selling tutorials, it's like it's kind of the same cookie cutter content that is passed along from one producer to another. Mm-hmm. So it's refreshing to see something new. When you first started that channel, like you grew it up pretty well. And then it hit a certain point where, you know, the team from Heat approached you.
Yeah.
Did you have any hesitation on your own as to like, because I know how hard it is to grow a YouTube channel. Did you have any hesitation for joining them? Like, well, I've made it this far. I could keep going.
So just to give like some full background on everything, kind of like a more timeline for everybody is June 2020 is when I started the channel. And then I had no real upload schedule. Like I was in college. I was back home for the summer and then I went back up to my apartment in college and it was just kind of more so like whenever I felt like making a video, I'd make one. So sometimes it'd be one video a week. Sometimes it'd be three videos a week. Sometimes it'd be 2 weeks without a video. And then YouTube shorts were getting like, they just started. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do a YouTube short. So I made a YouTube short, how to make a producer tag. And it got like 200,000 views out of like nowhere. And that's like what really grew my channel. And I already had BeatSelling content on there for producers, so a lot of people just kind of like funneled themselves in. Like they found that video, and they were like, oh, this guy has awesome videos out for selling beats. So like people subscribed to me and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then, so let's see. Then after talking to Robin and learning about Urban Masterclass, I became an affiliate for the course in January. And then with how my college worked, in May, when I was done with school, I needed an internship then to graduate. Now, the internship could also be a full, like full-time job. So I wasn't, Robin, like he offered me, he's like, hey, do you want to work full-time for Heat as like the social media guy? And it just made sense for me because I could,
yeah,
like that could just work perfectly into my college internship that I needed. And plus, like I wasn't really focused on looking for any other internship at the time. Because all my time was going to YouTube, so I was like, it lines up perfectly.
And no, it's a great opportunity. Like, yeah, I can't. Yeah. I wouldn't have turned it down either, but I just wanted to ask the question.
So, I mean, like the biggest thing for me really is what I liked the most about it is it took all the pressure off of me in terms of it was no longer about my success. It was speaking about the success that we had already achieved and were maintaining at Heat. That Robin did, that Rujay has, that, you know, people in the course have had. So it was awesome to just kind of have that pressure off me and not have another thing on my plate of like, okay, like now I would need an actual internship. And most 9 times out of 10, the internships you'd get would be unpaid. So I would need to get an actual, at least a part-time job, if not a full-time job, then do an internship for like 12 hours a week to meet that schooling requirement. And on top of that, I would then have to make beats and then, you know, market the beats and then make videos about that. And so I was like, if I just take this job, like it takes so much pressure off me being like the main focus of the channel. And I think it just makes the content way better because Robin knows way more than I did at the time. So I was like, it's just so much better for the audience too. Like I can give them so much more knowledge of what actually worked and what didn't work through a longer experiment and more proven track record. So I was like, the stars just like aligned for it, honestly.
Yeah. And everyone always says, you know, look for mentors to help you along the way. Like, I don't think you could ask for a better mentor.
Those guys are awesome, man. You know, I know, obviously, since I'm employed by them, like, I'm not going to say bad things about them. But those guys, like, some stuff they've done off the record for me, they're awesome people. Like, just genuinely deep down, they're awesome guys. I couldn't have asked for a more positive experience the past almost year of my life of knowing them at this point. They're truly awesome.
That's good to hear. That's very cool. So like with that said, like, do you ever see yourself going back to, you know, as like a tight beat producer?
Or do you I wouldn't say so really. Just like, I just got so out of the producer space in terms of making beats to where I love the marketing aspect. Like I fell in love with like the marketing aspect of everything.
And I totally get it.
I wouldn't say it's easier.
I get caught up in it too. Like I feel like the producing part for me is just like default where you sit me down in front of the computer, I know what to do. But the marketing part is all new, trial and error. It's exciting. So I definitely get that.
And plus, like, I felt like it was just a better way to fill a gap in the community that's out there. Like, I mean, producer tutorials are getting so stale nowadays. Same with type beats. It's just the way YouTube's going, YouTube's always been a visually driven platform. And YouTube needs to get more people on the platform. They make more money through advertisements. And so it's just getting at the point of where artists are just getting tired of type beats. And you have to think about too, 75% of all YouTube views comes from either the homepage or like browser recommended.
Yeah.
And so you have to think artists are only finding beats when they're specifically searching for them. But like, what if you could get in front of artists when they're just browsing or recommended? And then they realize that you're also like a producer who sells their beats. It's just a way bigger, more effective marketing strategy to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like it's, I agree and disagree. Cause like, I feel like there's an audience that strictly just does want the beats.
Yeah.
But those are people that have probably been following you for a while. They know what to expect. But as far as like gaining new leads, you know, you're going to be much more successful if you're putting out like the producer content first, gaining their interest, and then, you know, pulling them into your beats.
Yeah. But it's just like, I think the biggest struggle is that a good book for everybody to read. I always recommend this, especially with the whole recent fiasco of like producers buying views on YouTube. And everybody's like, oh, shit, I want that. It's like, no, you don't.
The Russians.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, it is crazy to where I have received DMs of like 17 screenshots of where like these people, I don't know if it's real or not, but they're like, hey, I'm Russian. You've probably seen this video on YouTube about producers buying beats. It's like, we help producers do that. Like, don't tell anybody. And like, it's just like DMs, like all these conversations. So I feel like half these people are almost lying and scamming other producers, just like using like our clout, talking about it of like, hey, that's us. That's actually.
Yeah.
It's some really weird shit. I just see like, so the book I recommend to people when they ask me like, should I do this? It's The YouTube Formula by Daryl Eaves. And this guy manages Mr. Beast and has done like other channels as well. They've gotten like millions of subscribers and tens of millions of views and whatnot. And the biggest thing that you have to understand about YouTube is that you need to build an audience of people who want to watch your content. And just type beats with like a beat visualizer or like a photo of like Kanye West, it's like that doesn't do anything.
Yeah. And no, I'm guilty of that. Yeah. And I got to try to figure out a way to break through that. But it's interesting. I totally get what you're saying. Like for though, it's such a small fraction of people that do just want the beats. Mm-hmm. And again, if they hear something, they're on and off in 20 seconds, which kills your watch time and the YouTube algorithm. So it's like tight beats definitely weren't built for YouTube, and it's a hard nut to crack on how to be successful. Like, it seems like the guys that are able to post every day, mm-hmm. those are the ones that are having the most success. And it's probably just, you know, from sheer volume that it's working out for them. So, I'm still trying to figure out.
It's myself. Weird because, like, there's never one answer. Like, people always ask me, like, okay, what content do I make? It's like, that's something you have to figure out yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, look into some resources about it. Like I said, that book's an awesome resource. But, like, you have to get in there. You have to test stuff out. You have to kind of brainstorm your own ideas based on who you want to reach. And it's not, like, something I can, like, tell you, like, make this, this, and this. Because there's no, like, golden formula for it. But
yeah, I agree. It feels like, because there's so many variables, you know, like you produce, like, boom bap beats.
Yeah.
I produce pop beats. Like, my audience is going to be way different from your audience. They're going to like different content. I will even go as far as saying this. Like, I think for rap beats, you know, the whole persona of a rapper is kind of, you know, you're confident, you're cocky.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they're more willing to jump on a beat right away, not even think twice about it. Where some of like the singer and songwriter people that I'm trying to reach out to, they're a little more hesitant to just put their music out there. So that's like been a big challenge for me, is just in my email journey, I'm trying to convince them like, hey, you can do this. You could put it out there. You don't want to live with regret. So that's one big challenge I've been having on my end.
Yeah. It's just, I think one YouTuber to look at who I think makes great content is Dorian Group 82. And in the sense of he himself is a rapper, but like he just kind of like talked over clips of like popular rappers like talking about their brand deals or how they market. And he just kind of like talked about it. He's kind of like repeated what they said. And I mean, he does more stuff, but it essentially, he has such a huge audience. I think what producers need to look into realizing is kind of like on TikTok, it works awesome because like you just want to cast your net as large as you can. And then people will kind of funnel themselves more into your content. It's definitely harder said than done, but
yeah. So that leads me to one of my next questions, and it's, there's so many ways to go about it. You know, you could do YouTube, you could do Instagram, you could do Facebook, you could do the funnels, you could do TikTok. Mm-hmm. If you were starting out today as, I guess, let's do two different routes. Yeah. One, a YouTube, like a producer that wants to put out producer content, and then two, a producer that wants to sell type beats. Mm-hmm. For each of those paths, where would you start? Keeping in mind, like, I'm a firm believer in, you know, you want to put stuff out as much as you can on each platform, but I'm a firm believer in, if you try to cover all ground, you're only going to move an inch at a time, and you're not going to get very far. So for those two paths, what would you recommend starting out on?
So I think still for making producer type content, I would still go the route of where somebody I think who's killing it is Produced by Infinite. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He does more like West Coast stuff. He strictly does West Coast stuff. And I think he does a lot of live streams. He does a lot of sample kits, and he does some very specific Bay Area tutorials. I think it's awesome because, like, he's created this like culture of engagement that's just like Bay Area music production. And cool. He's got a ton. He made I think he had 10,000 subscribers, and he reached out to a lot of companies for like sponsorships for like a 10K giveaway. And he got a lot of people involved in that, like some big names. So I think I would really look into a specific style of production. So with that, I'd probably go like boom bap route. And if I wanted, it really depend on, do I want to rely more so on the actual production content or just redo the route I already did of like my journey with selling beats? Because I think that's still something that's really needed, is like, there's 1,000 ways to sell beats online. There really is.
Yeah.
Like, there's 1,000 different ways you can be successful with it. And like, what worked for me is I was just the guinea pig. That's what Robin called me the first time. He was like, dude, you are literally a guinea pig of like test and show. And so I still think that's like the most number one thing needed, is people showing what they're doing and just being transparent about it, because that's what people want to see. Like, you have to remember, like,
I think so. Yeah.
The algorithm is just your viewers. And if you can be transparent with people, they're just going to fall in love with your content and really enjoy you as a creator. Now, if I went back to making more so to reach artists, what I would do is, one, so like people like Eldre do this. There was another guy who did drill stuff. I talked about him one time, and he made like Adele over a drill beat remix. I think it was like Adele and like a Pop Smoke instrumental. It got like 500,000 views. So you have to understand that I would try to set my net as wide as possible, because like, when you upload like a Ninth Wonder type beat, that's going to get nowhere in terms of browse and recommended. Like, it just, more than likely it's not. Yeah. You're going to get the same like 20 views every time you show up for like the next month. But if you can switch that around to like Pop Smoke on a hip hop beat, or like a lo-fi beat or whatnot, you can kind of get some more freedom and more range. And like I said, I'd much rather cast a wider audience and have people kind of find me and then stick with me or not. Because like, just the reach is so important on YouTube. So I think doing those remixes are awesome. I know another thing I saw somebody do is, there was a video, it was like Logic's top 10 best verses on his past 10 albums or something, like albums and mixtapes. And it had like probably like 200,000 views. And so like, as somebody who made Logic or J. Cole type beats at one point in time, like, the people you're going to be targeting are people who are Logic fans and people who probably have an interest in rapping and like judging verses and like staying, like they see that as something cool to watch a video about. So they're probably more so closer to a rapper than just an average person. And so to kind of put that content out there, and then you could have like your type beats on your channel to kind of support those people coming in. And so really, I would just look to see, you know, what are different ways that I can support my type beats? Because, it's still important to get type beats out there so people can listen to your production on the channel. But what are ways that I could really cast a wide net and reach people who'd be interested? Just because, like, with doing the consultations, everybody is just doing type beats and doing, you know, the standard thumbnail and like, what do I do? It's like, the past eight people I've talked to have done the same thing. So like, do something different.
Totally too. And it's where with YouTube, we have our own agenda on YouTube's property, and YouTube has their own agenda. They don't care what we're trying to do. So it's like we're trying so hard to navigate, all right, how can we sell these beats? But I think you have a great point in that you kind of got to play the game of YouTube a little bit. If we're on their property, we got to follow their rules.
Yeah. I think, too, you have to look to see, like, what else is really popping in terms of, like, this, the rapper space. Like, what do rappers really watch and care about and entertain? Or, like, what are some things like Logic's top 10 verses or, like, an hour of J. Cole songs? Or even, I know, oh God, I forget his name, J. something K music. I forget what his name is. He did, like, an hour of chill lo-fi beats to freestyle to or something like that. And it blew up. And so you kind of have to look into see, like, what are other producers doing? And don't be afraid to not steal or copy it, but, like, format it to what you're doing or think about ways that could apply to yourself. Because if people are getting success from these videos and their topics, you want to, like, copy that because you see it's working.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in YouTube and the algorithm, it seems like it's big on trends and, you know, trying to get what's hot. So it's always good to pay attention to what is trending.
Yeah. And so
watching,
you know, the biggest thing I talk about when I come to the algorithm is really recommend or not recommend, really remember that the algorithm is just your audience that you want to reach. So like this week's video, I'm talking about Beat ID with BeatStars. And I don't know, did you hear about that? Did you look into that?
Yeah. I was actually going to bring that up. Like,
so I'm making a video on it this week. Because I was telling Robin, I was like, dude, for once in our lifetime, there's like a trending topic with selling beats. Like,
yeah.
Like there's hardly like any ever news that like riles up the community. And so I was like, this is awesome. I'm making a video about this week. And it's not like some way that like I'm tricking the algorithm. It's a hot topic that people are talking about. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And so when you can kind of tap into that, and really think about, like, I know when I made the video of, like, these producers are blowing up on YouTube in, like, 1 week. People are so interested in that.
Was that the Russian one?
Yeah. And, like, people are...
I watched that.
It's just, like, so interesting to people. And, like, producers are like, oh, shit. Like, every type of producer knows how impossibly hard it is. Like, your first month, you even get 1,000 views. So these guys are getting 100,000 their first fucking 3 days. It's like, yo, what the hell's happening? It's nothing to do with keywords or optimizing. It's just people want to watch that content or it's so interesting. And of course, as a producer, it's hard because, you know, it's like, how do you format that around production? But it's just one of those things, like you really have to think different and just try different stuff.
Yeah. For me, I'm like in my emails that I send to my, like my contacts, mm-hmm. Like I look at my email chain or my sequence of emails and I'm like, I could probably turn that into YouTube content that they would want to see. Cause it's like how to get your music on Spotify, which I know there's a million videos out there, but mm-hmm. if they see it on my channel, they're like, yeah, you know, I'd want to do that. I have one email that talks about why type beats make sense and I mm-hmm. do it without trying to sound like a big salesman. Beats. Yeah, I go into, you know, to be successful online, you need gobs and gobs of content. And I'm like, if we partner together, I'm providing, you know, beats every week nonstop. Yeah. This, if you jump into this bowl of beats and you're putting out content every week, I'm putting out content every week, we're both going to be successful.
Yeah, it pairs together. Yeah, I mean, that's tough, too. Like, I think a lot of people, the biggest issue with, I would say, providing value in terms of content is a lot of producers are very disconnected from what rappers actually want or, like, they don't know, like, anything themselves. So it's kind of a game of where you can learn that stuff and talk about it, too. And I think that's an awesome thing to do as well. I think somebody, like, I know Beats by Danny was doing it for a good bit of where... You know, he definitely gets a lot of streams on Spotify as well. He gets like, and I think he was doing like lo-fi stuff at the time. And it's just, that's such a great experience to have because you're learning and then you can teach that to somebody else. Like the internet works is you're always teaching somebody who knows just a little bit less than you.
Yeah, I saw that video by Beats by Danny and the lo-fi streams and actually making music on Spotify.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I put my stuff up on DistroKid and push it out, but I think the highest I've ever had as far as monthly listeners was around 30. Mm-hmm. So it varies between 10 and 30, but I still push it out there. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, so easy. It's a click of the button and it's up there. So
there's always just like a next level to go to with trying to learn stuff. And I think too, what some producers need to understand is that value can also be entertainment. So like I think that's the biggest thing people miss. And I think is awesome on TikTok is there's a lot of people. I saw this producer who was just making a beat with like his friend, and they just had like the natural energy of them like making an awesome beat together. Like they were like in their chair, like vibing, like, you know, you make an awesome beat, you sound like start like walking around the room, like not in your head. And like that was entertaining for people to watch. And I think it got like 100,000 plus views. So I think a lot of people kind of overcomplicate it sometimes or think they have to be like knowledge, 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 when it can also just be entertainment is also value.
Yeah.
As well.
No, that's a good point. Let's see. I'm just going down my notes of questions here. I think we covered a lot of it, but one thing I wanted to ask you about is like, what do you think are the biggest myths out there as far as like successful producers? And when I'm saying this, I'm thinking of like everyone talks about their wins and, you know, they post their beat sales online, which I always thought was weird because like you never go through the register at Target. And then as soon as you're walking away, they're like, yes, check this out. $50 for, you know, coffee maker. Like that never happens. It's like, for me, I'm always like, I'm not going to post my beat sales. I want to act like I've been there before.
Yeah.
But so what are some of the myths like you see out there that people are putting online? I want to get your thoughts on that.
So I think the first thing I want to talk about is kind of a lot of people think that they need to have 100 beats to start selling beats. And it's more so the idea of like usually what happens is, you know, like, okay, I have to be consistent on YouTube. So, you know, you end up making like 75 beats and then you sell one. So it's like, oh, like I just need to have, it's more so like a crapshoot of like the shotgun spread of like, just like throw a ton out there and one might hit. But, you know, when you think about how beat licensing works, you can literally sell the same beat 20,000 times for like millions of dollars if possible. So I think, but also it's this big fighting factor of like, okay, like, is it quantity over quality? You know, I have to play the YouTube game, so I have to upload daily, have to upload 3 times a week. How do I stay relevant? And it's just like, I think really if you just stuck to like 20 or 30 good beats, you could really see a lot of success, but it's just a lot of people rely on the YouTube of a new beat to be uploaded every day or every other day. That's how they drive their traffic.
Yeah.
And so really, you know, the biggest thing with Robin is he's ranking for like beat licensing. It's not even really anything related to like R&B beats. Like it's just more so general producers could follow his content, artists could follow his content. And I think, you know, he doesn't really make that many beats anymore. He just has his catalog that just sits on his website and artists find that through Google search and they just kind of like filter themselves through once again. So I think organic SEO is something that's huge that even I've gotten into terms of I wrote like some articles, nothing really insane, but just kind of like SEO optimized my website. And I think I put it on my Instagram story today of like the chart for like impressions has just been like crazy. It hasn't led to a lot of sales, but it's just so like untapped, but it's way more long term too. Sweet.
And we're back. Okay,
so had a little issue there. So I guess you can just cut it back. So the second myth I would say to get back to it is people believe that like they need to have quality beats. Like that's the selling point nowadays. And, you know, as somebody who doesn't know a lick of theory, like I have a MIDI keyboard to like chop samples. I tried Musician to learn piano. I gave up because I was frustrated. But it's just reality is like having the knowledge of knowing how to play instruments, it's going to make you, it's not going to fail you, But in reality, like, to make a hard trap beat that an artist will go and, like, be like, oh, like, I want to use this, it's like the barrier to entry has gotten so low because of plugins like Arcade, where you can literally do so much crazy stuff, splice, and just the amount of loop kits that are out there nowadays. It's like, how can you be, there's no excuse to, like, not have a good sounding beat. And, like, you can argue, like, egos about, like, oh, well, I made it from scratch, blah, blah, blah. Like, artists don't care. Nobody on the radio ever goes, like, I wonder if this is a loop.
Or, oh, like, did they 100%. Make that?
Like, and so I think producers get tripped up there a lot of times. So, really, the biggest thing that I think everybody can learn from Robin, and even our channel, is we put ourselves out there and we did something different. And if you look in, I think it's a study by, like, a Harvard professor or something, it's like, 90% of the buying process is all emotional. Like, people don't, like, logically justify. It's all emotional. It's all emotional connection. You know, that's why people support their favorite creators. There's guys who have, like, stumbled on our YouTube content, and they're like, yo, I would never buy a course, but, like, seeing, like, all the value you guys deliver, and, like, seeing you, like, on camera, knowing you're a person, and, like, being a part of a community, it was, like, it was awesome, and that's why I purchased the course, essentially. And it's the same thing with beats, too. Is like, there's a lot of producers who, I think, you know, even a lot of people would probably buy a DJ Payne 1 beat because they, like, see him as a real tangible person.
Absolutely. Like,
giving out this knowledge. And that's a really big selling point for him and whatnot. And, I mean, the list can go on and on. There's people that I love, like Oh Gosh Leotis. He has insane production, but he also has, like, he's all over social media, and, like, he replies to comments and he talks to people in his comments like an actual human being. And so branding nowadays is becoming one of the most important factors, because everybody else can make hard beats. You can go on BeatStars and you can find five good beats just like that. Like, that's not an issue anymore. But nobody really, like, the biggest selling point for a lot of smaller producers is you have the time to talk to artists. So use that time to talk to artists. It's annoying. It takes a lot of time, but, like, you should be using that time to build those connections with those smaller guys, because they'll come to you for beats. So that's my second.
Yeah.
But if you want to, let's talk about the beat ID. That's something I do want to talk about. So for anybody who doesn't know beat, I'd highly recommend you go watch the video that BeatStars made about beat ID. But they essentially track your beat across 28 different platforms, which to me, it's like there's like probably like four or five main popular platforms you'd want to like track. So
yeah,
I think 28 is a little overkill. I don't know what those platforms would be, but like, okay, like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Reddit, maybe like top six, I would give. It's an awesome feature. Don't get me wrong. I love the idea of it to track where your beat's being used. But the price point is $10 a month per beat.
Which is crazy.
Which is insane. Which makes me really wonder, like, who was in charge of this? And it's not something where it's, like, a small amount of people, like, complaining about this. Like, if you look at the YouTube comments, like, yo, this is awesome. But, like, holy shit. Like, why so much money?
Now, I saw it, and I'm like, like, to me, I'm like, okay, that's rich people problems. And by what I mean by that is like, that is the people that would be interested in that service is like the 1% of sellers on BeatStars that are killing it, that have a ton of traffic. But for, you know, 90% of the people that are on there, it's like, I'm not getting that kind of traffic yet. So I'm not too worried about it.
Doesn't make sense. Like the smaller producers, like they don't have the additional, let's say, like, what the average producer, I would say, probably has like 50 to 100 beats on their beat store. And they probably want to track all of them, like, just because it's something you'd want to do as a producer. So that's an extra $500 to $1,000 a month you're throwing towards just tracking it. Just tracking it, by the way.
Yeah.
No, there's no direct monetization at all. And so that's crazy to me that, like you don't, like, your audience, like, 80 to 90% of your audience doesn't have that additional income to just throw towards that.
Yeah.
And the thing, too, is, like, you know how pissed I would be? Because all you're going to, like, okay, like, you're going to track people down. And, like, what if they already bought the lease? It's like, what are you, like, there's no way to monetize that. You're just, like, seeing stuff you've already, like, people already paid you. And another point I bring up in my video is, like, let's say an artist steals your beat. And let's just be full on honest with each other in this thing, right? Yeah. An artist steals your beat, you approach them, hey bro, you stole my beat. They're gonna ignore you or block you. It's not gonna be like, oh man, I'm so sorry, like change of heart, I'm a terrible person, I'll give you the $25 or I'll pay you $500 for the exclusive. Yeah. The guy's gonna block your ass. Like, let's just be real. They stole your beat, like their ethics.
It's like you're not gonna sue them, you know. That's the thing too.
Like, what are you gonna do? Pay hundreds or thousands for an entertainment lawyer to chase after somebody who gets 400 streams on YouTube and doesn't even monetize. Like, it's not monetized over there. So, yeah, I think, you know, they had Othello Beats be kind of like the face for it. And like you said, it's rich people problems. Like, it makes sense for them.
Mm-hmm.
But also the thing is, too, is like, what? I just don't see, like, how they're going to directly monetize that back to make the money back is pretty, like, even the bigger guys.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, I'll be honest, like, I didn't even like the content ID thing. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like, in my email sequence, when I talk to my people, I try to tell them when they upload their stuff to DistroKit, not to hit the, you know, the YouTube content ID.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's like a two way street where I'm like, all right, if I'm asking you not to do it, I'm not going to do it on my end either because I don't want to get tripped up on those YouTube, you know, claims and all that stuff.
Yeah, there's just so much, I don't want to say uneducated, but there's just so much confusion and blurred lines between, like, how you use it. Or, like, somebody will content ID something that has a loop from Splice in it to where they didn't change it at all. So now any other producer that use it gets hit with that content ID claim. And it's just so messy of where probably like 80% of people aren't using it correctly or understand how to use it to where the feature just becomes, it just becomes a mess. Like, unless you're making all original music and you're a larger creator and you can team up with like an actual multi-channel network, I want to say, like the big YouTube partners who can actually content ID your stuff and you're making all original music, it makes sense. But even like, the thing about it too is a lot of times the people who are just even paying for a lease or stealing it at that, they're getting like 100 streams or like 100 plays or their channel's not monetized. So like the kickback you get is like 10 cents, $1.
Yeah, seriously.
And so, I mean, I think BeatStars is going to have to change the price of this because think about this too, right? From a business idea, as somebody who's very like business minded with working at Heat and being around like Robin, who's like a serial entrepreneur, so to speak, and just like being in that environment, if they get 100,000 tracks to get beat ID'd this month, that's $1 million every month they're bringing in additional revenue.
Yeah.
Which it's awesome for them, but I think producers are getting like the short end of the stick on that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you're going to make an additional $1 million a month, you better step up the BeatStars program then. You better invest that money into some ground-changing shit if you're getting $1 million a month. Like, for that me, service better, you know?
Yeah. For me, the one thing I want to suggest to them is put more or figure out a better ad system.
That's been the biggest thing, yeah.
Yeah, like,
I remember I talked to Mike Trampy. I think it was, I want to say it's August of 2020. I talked to him and maybe even before, August of 2020, probably. I was like, I made a video about BeatStars promo and I reached out to him. I was like, yo, you guys like ever going to do like, maybe like keyword relation advertising or something, you know, just something small like that to be more direct with placements of where your beats being advertised. And he's like, yeah, we're working into it right now. Should be out in the next few months. I was like, okay.
Even
like a genre.
Yeah. If I could get a banner at the top of the pop genre playlist, like I would dump so much money into that.
Yeah. I think, and you'd make a lot of money back too.
Yeah.
Which is just like, I think the marketplaces themselves with just a general search, you're not going to make a lot of money back. Like if you're a producer and you don't upload to Beats, you don't upload your beats to YouTube or Instagram, you just upload them to BeatStars. Like the odds of you getting a sale, like good luck. But if you get paced into a playlist, it's definitely gonna be better. And like I said, if you could advertise into those playlists, it'd be deadly. Like it really would be deadly. Like, I don't think you'd fail because you're in that, you're like more direct than ever. You're on, it's absolutely not like Facebook where you're targeting an interest. You're like you're at the direct source of where artists are looking to get their beats.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, they do come up with something like that. I would love that.
It'd be interesting. I really would want to know how much money they would charge for that.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I would, if it was, I mean, if it was, it'd have to be reasonable, but like, yeah. I would pay a little premium to get on that pay list.
I feel like it'd have to be at least like 300 plus for one day on a top of the list. If not,
they did that Black Friday playlist.
Okay.
So they had the first option, which was like 300 or something like that. And then they did a second one, which was like 100. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice on it, try it out. It, for me, I think I did like an Ariana Grande beat.
Yeah.
Like 20 nothing. Views. Like nothing. That's nothing. Crazy. And I'm like, it's because I'm on this list with, you know, bunch of trap producers and people that want to hear trap beats. It's like mine's gonna stand out like a sore thumb and click right through it. So anyway, hopefully they do come up with something like that.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's always been the biggest thing with the promo system. I want to feel like they're working towards something because they must have to, because that's like the number one community driven need.
That's but once probably where they probably make so much money from it too.
Yeah,
so.
I also just don't know the technicalities of it, like how you'd code that in, or how long and how bitchy of a process that'd be to make happen as well. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
we want it, but like I also don't understand the aspects of how it would get integrated or be done.
Yeah. All right, so we're coming up on an hour here. Is there any other thing you wanted to talk about heat or just general advice for producers?
Man, I would say the most general advice I give to people right now is look on TikTok. TikTok has been blowing up. So the first thing I'm going to say is really think outside of the box. And if you go to TikTok or you do YouTube shorts, for the love of God, do not post an image of a rapper or like a beat visualizer with your beat and say, buy this beat on my store. Dear God, don't do it. Do not do it. Don't look. Don't do it. Like, I swear to God, do not do it.
Hang on. Let me cross it off my list.
And I think the biggest question I get to a lot is like, okay, well, you know, you talk about that making content. Like I have like this fucking, I have this insane light for videos. I have this light for videos. I have a ring light for videos. I have this camera for videos, like $700 camera, right? All this shit. You don't need any of that to get started. You just need the phone you have right here.
Yeah.
And you don't need, you know, truth be told, the number one way to get it done is just start filming yourself and think about different ways you can do it. Because every producer asks me, like, how do I get started? Like, I don't have a mini keyboard. I just have, like, my usual, like, keyboard on my computer. Like, I don't have a fancy setup or something. Just start recording. And just start messing around with stuff. Start learning different ways. Start like learning the basics of recording yourself or whatnot. Buy like a little mini tripod. I used to have like a small one you put your phone on. But people are just like, you know, what do I do? How do I do it? It's like you just have to start doing it.
Yeah,
that's how I learned how to do my editing and whatnot. Is just you have to like get the practice reps in.
And I am guilty of that. I started one, but I didn't really put in any effort.
Yeah.
It was the screen record, play the beat. But with the whole YouTube Shorts thing, like I'm thinking if I could do a video for YouTube Shorts and then also post it to TikTok, I'm like doubling. I'm using the content in two different places. Like that's worth the time right there to do that.
Yeah. And like Instagram Reels too, you can just repurpose. Like you can just make one form of content that's like vertically 60 seconds long that can go YouTube Shorts, Instagram, TikTok. And so people don't really understand that as well, is like the multi-purpose of the content you can have. But I think the biggest thing is like you just got to get out of your own head and just try to do it.
Yeah.
And you'll kind of learn from your failures. And so
absolutely.
What else do I want to get into? I'm trying to think of like the most common questions I get on Instagram and whatnot. I can't really think. Do you have any direct questions?
No, I mean, I think I covered it pretty much. I like, I wanted to talk about the position that you had at Heat, mm-hmm. like, because that's super interesting to me, and I think it would be to our audience too. And then just overall, you know, what's some gems for producers coming on right now? And I think you covered that. I mean, I have to take the advice that you gave today as well, as far as, you know, getting on camera, showing myself building beats and stuff like that. So I will do that as well. I think that.
Oh. You cut out there for me a little bit. What'd you say? Like, froze up on your end.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think we covered a lot, or at least all the questions I wanted to talk about. And unless there's anything else you want to talk about on your end.
Let me think. I think the biggest thing, too, is just learn the fundamentals of marketing. Like, yeah, that's going to get you the furthest, is just learn the fundamentals of marketing. Don't be afraid to read a book. That's where I've learned literally everything. Udemy, they have a $30 monthly subscription where you can get access to like a ton of courses all around like different topics. That's my thing, is like I dive right into courses, because, you know, the thing about it too is I think Luke Verprez is an awesome example of, you can pay a company $1,500 a month to learn SEO and have them do that for you. Or you can take your own time to learn it. And that's just the simple thing, is like, most of us in this position have more money, or have more time than more money.
Yeah.
And sadly, you know, you have to sacrifice a lot of that time. But if you learn how to do that stuff, it's going to take some time, but having that knowledge is also something you can repurpose to somebody else. Like, I thought about offering like different services to producers, like based on what I've learned. I don't know what that would be, but even just to like help them set up email marketing, or more like guided steps of whatnot, different from the course, I think that'd be huge, or just something to do. And really, it just all comes down to learning the fundamentals of marketing, I think, is the best like first step you can take.
Yeah, I'd say it's learning the fundamentals of marketing, and then also admitting to yourself that you're going to need to market your beats, and you're not just going to upload and it's going to take off. Like, there's no way to get around it. Trust me, I tried to just upload for, you know, a year, and I eventually realized I gotta learn how to market these things. So
I heard this was really funny on my comments. I always get like weird ass YouTube comments of people like trying to like outsmart all these algorithms and whatnot. And the one comment I got recently is like, me and my buddy buy each other's beats and send the money back and forth. And I was like, man, right. Like, I was like, I don't even know how to respond to this.
I have to admit, I've thought of buying my own beats before, because the more sales you get on BeatStars, the more they go up the charts.
Yeah, that's so, just people asking about the algorithm.
What if I bought my beat 10 times, you know, I wonder if that would lead to more sales. But
yeah, like,
I haven't stooped to that yet.
Yeah, like, okay, like, what's the SEO of the BeatStars algorithm, or like whatnot? And it's like, one, they don't really tell you, like, there's no metrics you really have to see. And like, people are like, oh, but like, you know, the top sellers, what are they doing? It's like, they have huge YouTube channels. Yeah, no, it just makes the most sense. Like, The main platform, you have to really think, it's just like YouTube. Like, YouTube makes money through advertising. So they need viewers, and they need viewers to spend more time on the platform to see more ads. It's the same way of BeatStars, right? BeatStars makes money by having producers be successful, one, but also providing artists with the resources that they need for beats and whatnot. So it makes sense that they're going to promote the beats that are selling the most, because that's the proven success. That's who they're going to rank number one for the keyword or whatever, is who's selling the most. It's just, that's the most logical way to think about it. So then I got that comment, like, me and my buddy are just going to buy each other's beats. And I was like, whatever,
man. In some ways, I respect the ambition.
Yeah. You know, but it's like, whatever.
That would not work in the end. There's no good solution there.
And then, like, last thing I want to talk about too is the whole buying views aspect on YouTube. We'll talk about this real quick. I don't know. Are you in a time crunch at all? Or you got time?
I do got to wrap it up in about 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Yeah. I'll make it.
I could talk for a little bit.
So I know when I made the video about buying beats on YouTube or buying views for beats on YouTube, people were like, bro, like, you need to hook me up. How are they doing this? My Instagram DMs were like flooded of like, dude, once you figure this out, like, bro, I'll pay you $100 if you tell me how to do this and shit like that. And I was just like, oh my God, what did I do? I was like, the views were awesome, but like, what have I established in this community? Like, this is terrible. And so the biggest thing that I'll tell you that it's kind of one of those things of you don't understand it or you don't realize this until you've been through it and kind of are now above that step. And so like Robin can attest to it. I can attest to it with this Heat channel is imagine if you were working for a company, like imagine if you were the marketing guy for your own business of selling beats online, right? Imagine that another producer is paying you $1,000 a month to make videos for his beats on YouTube. And after 3 months, you were like, yeah, no, we're stuck at 20 views. He'd can your ass because, you know, he's like, you didn't try anything different. You haven't experimented with everything different. You've been posting the same thing that's been failing us for the past 3 months. You know, it's like very the true definition of insanity. So it's kind of when you switch up that aspect of how you frame it in your mind, it's like you've been doing the same thing for 3 months and it's been failing you. Buying views or buying ads isn't going to be what's the spark here. The spark is that your audience doesn't care about this shit. Yeah. So you have to think of different ways to experiment and do that. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned with the Heat channel over time is like I've seen topics that failed and I've seen topics that have been successful. So what that means to me is like email marketing is like a topic that just isn't generally fun to people. Like selling beats on Instagram.
Which is funny because it's probably one of the most effective things out there that you could do.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, so if I make an email marketing video, I need to really step up the content and the delivery. So like the title and thumbnail have to be awesome. And the video also has to be awesome as well. But like if I made a selling beats on Instagram video, I could probably like kind of slack off on it. It's just the topic itself people want to know. So like I could really kind of show up with like a lousy performance and people would still really enjoy the video. But also what it comes down to is you learn your audience so much by posting and connecting one-on-one with these people. Like even if you're getting 50 views a month, if you're still talking to like one artist a week, maybe on Instagram or whatnot, and find that connection, you learn so much about their pain points. And I think a lot of producers also want to ignore like how you sell things online is you provide solutions to problems. Like producers try to ignore that because it's like, that's not part of like my culture of making beats. I just make hard beats, people use them. It's like, no, you're solving a problem. Like the artist wants to make a good song. They need to find a beat. They need to find a beat that like emotionally connects with them. And so they kind of, I'm not saying you have to be a salesman, but you need to understand the basics of why humans have bought things for the past 10,000 years of existence or whatever it is, right? People are buying stuff to solve a problem. All right, so just to wrap up my last point here, the main reason why I never promote like buying views or whatnot is if you're buying views and you're trying to buy ads, you're just trying to buy your way out of something that isn't working organically, which is a sign that your audience doesn't want to watch it. So you kind of like, you're eating shit. I get it. It's very painful, but you have to learn that like that means go in a different direction or try something new. Because like I said, if you're working for an actual business and for the past 3 months you've been doing the same thing and it hasn't been working, they're going to look at you like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like this hasn't been working at all. Try something different or we're firing your ass. So you have to really think about like, you know, eating shit is just a part of the process where you learn and you find better ways to connect to your audience and you have to experiment with different things and kind of push your idea of what content is out there and just not be afraid to really try out different shit.
Yeah, kind of absolutely. And you were great at that. I went back and looked at your sound design channel and you had those videos where it was just the beat playing and you're just kind of playing along to it. Like I've never seen that before, but it seemed like it worked pretty well for you.
Yeah, so that's when I got into YouTube Shorts. And like I said, you know, you just kind of have to try out those different avenues of what's out there. So YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, TikToks. It's just, you have to understand that if you post that like normal image of a visualizer or of a rapper and say, buy this beat on my website, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Like even if it's an artist looking for beats, you know, they don't like people want to feel like it's their own decision to purchase something.
Yeah.
So absolutely. If they find you organically through different content, like, yo, this guy's fire. Like, you want people to seek out your beat store. You don't want them to, like, be hit with it right out. You want them to have that own thought of, like, yo, where can I find this guy's beats at to buy them? Like, you need that thought.
It's 100% of you want them to discover you, not the other way around. And that is the hardest part of all this is how do we get them to discover us organically and, you know.
I think paid ads can be used too, but what happens is, you know, for paid ads, last point here, we recommend really like you have something established because these platforms are great with targeting. Obviously, you have to learn the platforms yourself, but if you're spending $15 on something that's currently making you zero, the odds of like ads are just a multiplier. So you're going to drive more traffic to a beat store that's not converting. So it doesn't make any sense. But if you're getting a sale here or there, a few sales a week, you know, that investment could be worth it if you know who you want to target. But if your beats aren't proven yet, that artist will even use them for free. Like just throwing money into ads is just going to be once more kind of backwards in terms of like where you want to go.
Gasoline on fire, but first you need the fire. YouTube ads were working pretty well for me, even as far as growing my organic views.
Yeah.
And that was up until about like 4 or 5 months ago that they just dropped. And it feels like that's happened a lot to a lot of people. So now, I just got to put out more content. I got to be honest with myself on that. I got to push to do that first. Mm-hmm. And then two, I'm just trying to find other ways to target people. Like you said, think outside of the box and find my audience.
Yeah. And the pandemic has definitely affected it too. Like Robin talked about it. Robin does live performances. He hasn't done one in 2 years. So kind of like, you know, artists really don't have a goal right now because they can't do anything because all this shit. So it's like, they don't, the demand supply chart for beats is just, there's so much supply, but not really that much demand because artists just, they're locked inside. There's no concerts. You know, why would somebody release an album because they have nothing to monetize that further with concerts or meet and greets or whatever it is, right? So it's kind of at a weird point right now.
It might be just a tough stretch here.
Yeah.
That producers just focus on being out there, being present, their branding. And then if the world ever goes back to normal, you know, and they get back
on
to
top.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so, the biggest thing is just awareness right now, people knowing you exist, really.
Yep, exactly. That's
step one.
All right, well, I do have to get back to what I was doing before this, but thanks for hopping on. This was awesome. I know we had a couple freezes there. I'm going to go back and take a look at everything to see. I think hopefully we could salvage most of it.
Yeah.
If anything, you know, I'll cut out anything that is unusable, but You gave a ton of gems. I could tell that you've been, I can hear the gems that you've absorbed from your team there at Heat. So it's been super helpful. But yeah, again, man, thanks for hopping on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. Hopefully this can give you some clout to further podcasts with other people.
Yeah, you mentioned Luke for Prez. He's on my list. I definitely want to talk to him. So
I think he'd be down.
All right, man. Have a good day.
Thank you too, man.
I'll talk to you.
So there you have it. Shout out to Ryan from the Heat YouTube channel. That was awesome for having him jumping on and helping me out, especially since my audience is so small. So big shout out to him over there. And we'll keep looking out for new content to be dropped on that channel. All right, that's all I got for this week. I'm probably going to do one more solo episode to kind of wrap up the year. I want to talk about 2022 goals and put my goals down, document them, put them out there, and see if I can hit them in 2022. All right. Talk to you next week. Everyone, have a great pre-holiday week. I know I'm so ready to relax and settle down. Have a great week, and I'll see you next one. All right. Bye.